cycle jerks.
Hey, get out of the road, dummy.
Cycle Jerks Podcast.
All right, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to Cycle Jerks Podcast. This is episode 144. I'm joined today, as always, by my co-host, Dave Dalton. Dave, how you doing, buddy?
Good. Recharging my batteries after Sea Otter. But yeah, okay, I'm doing good.
Yeah, good. Okay, well, we'll probably
I'm
talk
actually
a little...
in a good mood today as we start.
That's really rare. Yeah. So we'll probably talk a little Sea Otter today. Our guest today, Jamie Baeza, is joining us from Visalia. She's a new Live ambassador. So, and she was also at Sea Otter. So Jamie, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm also recovering from Sea Otter.
Yeah.
Living in a parking lot for 4 nights. So it's always
rough. Yeah, no doubt.
I just want to thank you for stopping by, Jamie. It was great to meet you there.
Like she even knew. All right, anyway.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
where do you see? You can see Dave's a problem. Dave's a problem. Yeah. Yeah. But Dave was there working with USA Cycling.
What a great event, really. It's
yeah.
So cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
for sure. The first time I went, I think I've only been once, maybe two other times. And the first time I did it, yeah, I think you invited me down, Mike, and Sue and I went down, and you know, it was like, okay, we did it. We walked around, we got a little bit of swag, and I kind of went, okay, let's go home. But having being there 4 days, you know, I just like, I needed more. Like, I didn't see everything I wanted to see. I didn't see everyone I wanted to see. I'm like, I'm going again next year without that for all 4 days. So it just, I don't know, the vibe was really cool. Just super cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a trip down memory lane. You see so many people from your past.
Yeah.
And yeah, it surprises me that a lot of times, like the people that work in shops locally are just kind of like, I'm not going to go. It's like, man, yeah, it's a good opportunity.
They should close the doors and get down there.
Yeah. So, Jamie, so how many Sea Otters have you attended?
Oh, man. We started going when my kids were maybe 10 and 12. So probably almost a decade.
Yeah.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
We didn't always go for 4 days, but now we always go for 4 days, and we camp with our friends now in the parking lot. So that helps. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
no
digressing
doubt.
A bit, tell me about this camping vibe there. So are you in a tent, you in a trailer? Like, do you actually get some sleep? Are you freezing cold? I mean, is it everything is cracked up to be?
Yeah, my friend and I, we always try to get campsites together, which means you have to be at the, you know, Sea Otter website right when the campsite's open to try to get your sites together. But they camp in trailers. My husband and I camp in our van, and we're warm because we have a heater. But definitely we've camped before we had our Sprinter van. We camped in our work van on an air mattress, which was horrible because you couldn't even stand up in it. And that was freezing, but we've since retired that van. So, but yeah, we stay the whole 4 nights. It's nice because in the parking lot, there's not like a whole lot of stuff that goes on like on the hills. So, you know, I hear that if you're up on the hills, it's a little bit louder, rowdier. It's pretty quiet down the parking lot. And then we're able to walk back and forth pretty easily without having to go really far. And they set up shower trailers right in the parking lot. So
yeah.
Big semi trailers. There's all showers.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a pretty ideal setup.
Yeah,
we went the shop that Jamie's affiliated with, Visalia Cycery, they had a pasta feed, and they invited myself and several of my giant colleagues. So we went over there I didn't realize that they actually, I mean, I guess I did. I've always seen trailers there, but I didn't realize that they offered that as camp space. But yeah, it's pretty ideal because you got the showers right next to you. You got the bathroom over here if you need it.
Right.
Yeah. And you're super close to the venue. So, you know, it's pretty ideal.
Yeah. We used to stay in hotels, and then we found we were wasting so much time just getting in and out in traffic that, you know, it was easier if we camped. So,
Yeah, I always like riding in if I can, you know, the you can loop a 17-mile drive and then hop on Carmel Valley and take that all the way down over Laurel Grade, and then you're right there at the entrance. And that's kind of a nice way to do it because the, like you say, the traffic's really bad and you get a really nice bike ride in. And
Anytime you get a chance to climb, Mike, anytime you get So I know this is about being a live ambassador, but one question. So I said, well, this will be year two that I go back. You're saying a decade. What keeps it fresh for you?
I think the fact that we go with a group of friends, it's always fun, and it's more like a fun party, or like, you know, we get together for dinners here at home, but it's we get to do that for 4 nights in a row when we're camping. So we don't have to, nobody has to go home, you know, we're together. So definitely the time spent with friends, but also some of my friends, it's the only time I see them through the whole year. I mean, not the people I'm camping with, but or people that I meet on Instagram throughout the year through cycling, and then we finally actually get to meet in person because so many people go to Sea Otter. And then seeing all the new products, because every year there's something new.
Does anyone in the family race?
My husband has done the enduro race, maybe the downhill race. But yeah, he's just done some mountain bike racing just for
That'd
fun.
be, how about the kids?
No, not the kids.
No.
They ride mountain bikes, but they don't race.
I mean, I could see where like the way that you're going about it could be just like, hey, we're going camping, and oh, by the way, there's a cool bike festival that we could just go check out too, you know? So just a total bonus. So, when did you, we always like to find out when our guests really got engaged with the bicycle in a meaningful way.
So probably when our kids, I always go back to our kids, that's how my life is measured. They
So many
were,
of us in our,
I know. Well, because the first mountain bike ride that my husband took us on, they were still on their like cheapy little kids bikes that were not actually should not have been where we were riding them. And so they were maybe 8 and 10, so yeah, maybe about 12 years ago when he first got us into mountain biking. And then once he knew that we liked it, then was like, okay, now we're gonna make this investment kind of into getting better bikes and stuff that we would actually enjoy riding, and it wouldn't be, you know, so difficult if we had the right gear. So yeah, and then we started doing family rides, all four of us, and really the only place we have for good mountain biking here locally is in Three Rivers, which is up the foothills of the Sierra Nevadas. We have some BLM land up there, but it's you just got to learn to climb to go there. So you just go straight up and up and up as far as you want to go, and then you can go down. So it's not all that fun, especially when you're taking your kids, but we would bribe them with pizza or ice cream in the beginning until they actually got competitive with themselves. And we have one daughter who's always loved to climb and one who's really good downhill. So like when as they kind of got older, we started going to Big Bear in the summers to go to Snow Summit. Fox put on a women's clinic for free one summer, and we saw it, and that was our first time ever going. That's the whole reason we went.
Oh,
So we
cool.
signed up, and it was a little bit over the head of my youngest daughter at the time, even though it was for beginners. So I ended up breaking off and separating with her, and then my downhiller stayed with the pros. And then yeah, so that was kind of our first intro into that. And so that day didn't go that great for my youngest daughter. And so we were just going to go home the next day, but then we thought, you know, we don't want her to leave on a bad note. We don't want to leave, you know, feeling defeated. And so that night in the hotel, we pulled up like the green trail on in Snow Summit and watched the whole thing on YouTube. And she said, okay, I think I'll try it. So they sold lift tickets that were just for, it was either like half a day or for one run. So we said, well, let's just go back and give it a try. We'll all stay together as a family. And she did, and we had a blast. And ever since then, we've gone back. And if we would have left that day having not
Never
done
again.
that, I'm not
Never
sure we
again.
ever would have went back. And we've had so many summers of having a blast there, because we didn't want to end on that bad note.
So, but
Well,
I just want to, I would backtrack and understand it. So your husband's a
yeah.
mountain biker. The
Yep.
kids reach a certain age and he says, I'm going to get them into it. Were you already into it and riding with your husband, or that's when you made the leap as well?
Yeah, he got us all three at the same time.
Okay, got
Just
it.
rip the band-aid off. Yeah.
Right.
What a great guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay. So did you grow up in Visalia?
No, I grew up in Ohio.
Okay. What brought you out here?
My husband. We
Okay.
dated long distance. We met when I was 16, and we
Oh.
dated long distance and for 2 years, and then I graduated high school, and 2 weeks later I moved to Visalia.
How did you meet?
I have some girlfriends that I grew up with in Ohio. When they were in elementary school, they moved to Visalia because they had family here. And I visited them one summer, and then that's when we met.
Wow.
Yeah, and then a
That's
few years later, we got married. Our anniversary is this Friday. It'll be 22 years.
Oh, wow. Wow. Happy
Wow.
anniversary.
Yeah,
Yeah. Yeah.
congratulations.
Yeah. Pretty unlikely, meetup,
Oh,
right?
yeah.
Yeah.
Totally random.
Yeah. Well, cool. Now, I'm, Jamie and I spent some time chatting with each other at Sea Otter, and you let me know that you're involved with RPI, right? Rebecca's Private Idaho.
Yeah.
And Rebecca gives out some scholarships each year, and we have a guest coming up, Jeremy Razzleberry. He goes by Razzleberry, yeah. But
Yeah.
he's the para gravel cyclist. He was a recipient, and so were you. Yeah,
Yes.
yeah.
Yep.
So that's quite an honor.
Yeah, I can't believe it. So, the Be Good scholarships that we both applied for were bikepacking scholarships. And so I applied for a project. I really want to take more women bikepacking. And I've found that I don't really have a community of bikepackers here that, are willing to go. And so I thought, well, if it doesn't exist, I need to try to make it. And so we're doing intro to bikepacking. It'll be local because I've found that sometimes it's hard for moms to get away. If you have to travel a day to your location to start, and then you don't start until the next day, and then you actually have your trip, and then you have to travel home. Well, by then, you're already gone from your family for quite a long time. And for some people that works, but for a lot it doesn't. And so to kind of dip their toes in the water, we're going to do a local one here up to Three Rivers. Just an overnighter. Yeah. And so with the Be Good Foundation scholarship, I was able to, arrange the campsites, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah. It's actually in 2 weeks.
Oh,
Yeah.
really? How many people you
Yeah.
got going?
I have 10 so far. I have room at the campsites for 18. So I have
Whoa.
eight more spots, and it's
Nice.
free for whoever wants to sign up. And I have some loaner gear,
Okay.
because the gear is expensive. That's another barrier.
Right.
I would love to eventually have a gear library to lend out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be good. Yeah, because that gear can get expensive.
So you
Oh,
got
yeah.
10 people, and where are they all from? Visalia? Because you said to keep it local, or what?
So most of them are from Visalia. There's someone, this is really cool. Another bikepack scholarship recipient from the Be Good Foundation. Megan, she is going to be riding from New York City to Ketchum to get to RPI. So she's going to be bikepacking all summer.
Oh, wow.
That's her scholarship project. Well, she's actually going to be in California next week, or maybe at the end of this week. So she's going to stay and join my bikepacking ride.
Oh,
We've
that's
never
cool.
met. Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's going to come, and then there's one other gal that I don't know where she's from that signed up. I don't know the name, but the rest are local.
Wow. Now, That I mean, that's interesting. I mean, I don't, how big is my, like, to be honest with you, like, I don't know that of all my circle of friends here in the Bay Area that I know anyone that backpacks or bike packs. How big is Visalia? How did you find eight women that want to bike pack in Visalia? I mean,
She's very persuasive, Dave.
I
I twisted
guess,
their
like,
arms.
yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
We
half of them are probably just going because they want to be supportive of their crazy friend, you know. And so, whatever works, I just want them to try it once, you know.
Yeah.
I hope that they like it, but if they
Yeah.
don't, you know, then they didn't have to go far to do it, and then they know. But I really
Right.
hope that it stirs people up. And because to me, bikepacking is like pure freedom. As soon as you strap all your stuff to your bike and it's just you and the road or the trail, it's like nobody's asking me for anything. Nobody's saying what's for dinner. You know, I don't have to do anything but worry about myself and my bike.
I trust the lesson you learned with your daughter, mountain biking, is a lesson you're going to employ here, which is do whatever it takes to make it sure it's an enjoyable experience, like, and then so that they're, that's all you need to do is like getting on this hard freaking trail or get them and then all of a sudden they hate it or whatever. So you just make it easy, make it simple, make sure they love it, and then, right? Is it,
I'm thinking
That's the
like,
goal.
yeah, I'm thinking like campfire, wine and cheese, just sitting around talking to,
S'mores, gotta have
like,
s'mores.
s'mores, yep.
yeah. We jokingly
And
call my wife gets together with her friends and they play Bunko, although they don't even play Bunko anymore. But we call it the husband hater club. It's just jokingly, because I'm sure they all sit around going, my guy, he's on his bike like 20 hours a week. Anyway, yeah. But yeah, I think, yeah, if you can keep it fun, like Dave says, not too strenuous, and heavy emphasis on recreating and a little bit of emphasis on cycling and camping, I think that's, yeah, good formula.
What are the distances they have to ride?
This is going to be super easy. It's like 15 miles, 1,000 feet of climbing. We're going to climb around our lake, Lake Kaweah, and you're going to be able to see the snow-capped Sierras in the background. So it's beautiful. And we'll
Nice.
have services, so we don't have to carry a whole bunch of food
Oh.
because, like the ride I did with Jeremy, that was in the middle of the desert. So we had to carry all of our water, all of our food, everything with us. And this time, you know, we get to go a little lighter. So.
Is it
Yeah.
just one night?
Yeah, just one night.
Okay. Now, yeah. So the oh, f falling right into it. This is like nothing hard or strenuous or
Yep.
difficult about it. They fall in love with it. Okay, I'm tracking now.
Yeah.
That's my goal.
And you mentioned your ride with Jeremy. I don't know, Dave, if you saw that footage of Jeremy getting on the bike recently. He had a post where, because I had often wondered, like, how's this guy even, how does he do it, being paralyzed? And yeah, Jamie was in the video. And I thanked him for posting it because I was just always curious about it. But it's amazing that that's what this guy's doing, and inspiring for so many people, I'm sure, just to, yeah.
Hey,
So,
so Jamie, get us the information. This is probably something for after it, but if you've got eight open spots and it's free, get us where we can find information, and we'll put it
Yeah, I'll
on
send you the
via
link.
Instagram and Facebook. I don't know. I think it's fascinating, and I think what Rebecca is doing is incredibly awesome. I mean, it just everything that she's doing, the Be Good Foundation and her, Private Idaho ride, which someday I hope to be able to get out and do. But you were a mountain biker. When did you make this transition to, two-part question, bike packing, a kind of a unique discipline? And is that what you do, or are you into road riding? Are you into all kinds of bikes? Just chose a two-part question.
Okay, so started out mountain biking for several years. We met someone at a mountain bike race who saw our kids and told us that we should start a Trips for Kids chapter in our area because it was something we were already doing. We would just bring more kids with us. So we had never heard of Trips for Kids at the time. But it's a nonprofit started in Marin over 30 years ago by Marilyn Price. And so we looked into it and we decided to start a chapter. So we did that in 2018. We opened Trips for Kids to Larry County. So we take kids on mountain bike rides. We did a bunch of fundraising. We have a mobile trailer full of bikes. Giant is actually, they donated our first 5 bikes. Yeah, they were our Trips for Kids sponsor in 2018 and beyond. So we got really lucky, my husband and I, because the Sprock Kids training was going to happen at Giant. And we got invited to the training. So we got to go down and learn the curriculum of how to teach kids specifically, because kids learn so differently than adults. So how to teach them how to safely mountain bike. So that, I told Mike this story.
What was the Giant training that you went to?
It's called Sprock Kids. It's like the youth cycling program. Okay. With Giant.
Yeah.
It's part they of have our, a whole curriculum.
Yeah, it's part of our GRA training, Dave. So yeah.
I must have fallen asleep during that section.
No, it's not at every session. It's just there's a separate session just for Sprockets training. And then you leave there as a Sprockets certified instructor. And then they have some support materials that can assist as you do events.
Got it.
Yeah, it's an excellent training.
Yeah.
Okay.
But when I told Mike this when we were at Sea Otter, but when we went to headquarters to do this training, you know, we did our mornings in the classroom and then they said, okay, now we're going to ride, you know, through traffic and onto down to the park to do our in-person training. And inside, I was not comfortable riding in traffic ever because I was a mountain biker. I only rode on trails. And so I thought, oh, that terrifies me, but I don't want to look stupid and I don't want to say anything. So I just shut up and did it. But before they took us out, the trainer who was in charge taught us how we're supposed to teach kids. So you kind of assume that nobody knows, you know, how to ride in traffic safely. So you teach everyone. You know, and then nobody looks stupid, and then nobody has to say they don't know what they're doing, and then everybody is on the same page with hand signals and, you know, everything for safety. And so I thought, okay, I'm just gonna get, you know, get this over with. So I ended up coming home from that trip and thought, well, I think I could do that. So I bought a road bike after that trip.
Okay.
My husband and I both did. So I bought a Liv and he bought the Giant road bikes right after that trip. So then we were mountain bikers and road cyclists. And then eventually I bought a gravel bike as well. My husband's never really bought into the whole gravel thing. He'd just rather be on a mountain bike and riding more fun trails. He thinks gravel's kind of boring or like monotonous, you know, can be depending on where you're riding. But
I think you could make that case for road. I mean, I'm a roadie, and I think you could make that case for road, but to make that case for gravel, I don't think so.
Well, he was from motocross background.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, I could kind of relate to that because I raced mountain bikes and I did downhill and all kinds of stuff back in the day, but then I got a cross bike. And that's like when it started getting weird for me because it's like, okay, I'm going to go in the dirt. So you're really choosing one or the other at that point.
Yeah.
And so the cross bike just kept winning the battles inside my head. And so I could kind of relate to where I could see where you'd make a distinction like, no, you know what, if I'm going to do dirt, I'm going to do mountain or I'm going to do, but because it's hard to divvy them all up equally. But I don't know.
And it's hard to have a garage where you could store all those bikes too. So
yes.
Yeah.
Especially with your household, you have, You, your
for people that
husband?
ride bikes. Yeah.
Oh,
We have a
boy.
room. We have a room of bikes. We have steady racks.
Oh, okay.
And
Nice.
so we have just like a whole wall of
That's
bikes.
awesome.
But yeah.
Yeah, my
We need to get rid of a couple.
we just have two bike riders at our house, and my son, I think he has seven mountain bikes.
Wow.
So it's all the same discipline, kind of, but he has a dirt jumper. He's got two downhill bikes. He's got a couple trail bikes. He's got a enduro bike. You know, he's loaded. And then I'm on the other end. I'm actually pretty lean right now. I only have three bikes. So I got a couple road bikes and a gravel bike. I don't even have a mountain bike right now. So yeah, maybe I'll get a
Okay,
mountain bike again someday.
yeah, I
So now
just kind of
you're
like it
off doing your
all.
gravel
And
thing. Do you have a preference?
and then I got invited on my first bike packing trip, because you'd asked about how I got into that.
Yeah.
And Jesse, actually the bike shop manager, planned a overnight camp out at the coast. So we rode from Morro Bay to Cambria. I don't know if you're familiar with the
Oh,
Central
yeah.
Coast. And there was a really cool campground. You would never even know it was there. It was in the middle of Cambria downtown, and had like an old wagon part that was converted into showers and like a communal barbecue and fire pit area. It was really cool. And then the next year it closed. So that was a bummer. So we
Yeah.
moved it now from Morro Bay to San Simeon. So we've done that one for a couple years now as well. So that was kind of how I started. You know, again, pretty easy, a longer distance, but still you have a lot of, food and resupply options and stuff like that.
Yeah. So we had a host, a different another host, one of our friends, Bo Grant. And Bo, he was really interested in bike packing. And so he took a trip to just our local park and did an overnight. And he had a really hard time because he kept hearing all these sounds at night. And he was really not comfortable at
I
all.
bring
Oh,
earplugs.
do you?
I bring
Yeah.
earplugs and I sleep next with my pepper spray next to me. I've got my knife, my pepper spray, and because sometimes, people are like, "You're sleeping in the woods,
Right.
just with bears and one other woman," and like,
Yeah, it's
well,
a little
yeah, I mean,
precarious.
I could die, driving down the street, or I could go have fun and
Yeah.
hang my food in the tree and hope the bears don't get it. I don't know.
Right.
So,
Right.
yeah.
Yeah,
Dave, do you have
I
any
think I
desire to bike pack?
well, I don't know. I said I never wanted to camp either, and now I'm kind of into camping. So I'm just trying to figure out would I be. I don't know. I think I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I think I
This is
could
sounding very
the
much like a no to me.
no, I think where I would get into it is if it was one of those like your friend that you mentioned earlier where like you had the means to ride across the country, right? And I'm going to say this, and in fairness, somewhere along the way, we were able to restock, or someone met us and gave us clean clothes, and so there was some level of that
Support.
to it,
Yeah.
support, But yeah, what a great way to see the country if I ever had the means to take a, like our friends that took 3 months off to ride across on the US. I think I
Yeah.
said then that I think if I was going to do that, back then when they did it, there wasn't gravel wasn't a thing. Now it's a thing, and I think you could plan a more exciting route, if you were able
Yeah.
to intermix gravel and road, you'd see some amazing parts of the country. So, yeah, I guess if I win the lottery tomorrow, maybe I'll think about it. But until then, I've got a 3 day weekend at best.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, there's tricks, and every bike packing trip is different, and that's kind of the cool thing. So sometimes you like if there's a shower, if you're actually staying at an actual campground, I'll wash my because I like to ride in bibs. I'll wash my bibs in the shower and then hang them up in the tree to dry. you know, because you want to pack as you know light as you can, but you can wash your stuff in the shower when you're taking a shower and then hang it up, hope it dries.
Tries,
Depending on
right?
how much time you have. I mean, and then some people, you know, on longer trips, they don't always camp. You know, they'll splurge for a hotel and they'll wa you know, get their clothes washed and you know.
Yeah, that's more my speed. Yeah,
Yeah, everything's
I'll be at the
different.
hotel if you need me.
Yeah.
Mike's our support. He's coming from the hotel with his
Yeah, I
fresh
could
cup of
do
coffee in the morning and his oatmeal.
Oh yeah. So
Yeah.
this is so I had the pleasure and the honor, honestly, of working with a couple of Live ambassadors when I had a shop, Cheryl and Hillary. And they did great things, right? They really were, they got women into mountain biking. They got women into, they were, had a, my road rides, they had the kind of this entry level group that they would do. We did a cyclocross thing. And we have a new one, Dana. So it's yet to be seen. I know she's very enthusiastic, but I will say, and I applaud you because from a Live Ambassador thing, this is the most ambitious that I've ever heard of. I mean, maybe there's more, but I, you know, the world in which I live in, right? You know, the ones I've been exposed to, I have great admiration, but this is incredibly ambitious, I think, you know, this, but what else are you doing from the ambassador standpoint? I mean, top that, if you will, Jamie, right?
I don't know. So, I mean, I just started, so it's been
Okay.
maybe a month. And so this is definitely my first, you know, go at it is this kind of big project out of the gate.
Yeah.
But it works out perfectly
She gets
because
a
this
Mach 7 right away. Yeah.
Rebecca's a Live ambassador. You know, she's a global ambassador. And really,
Yeah.
Rebecca's career has taught me a whole lot. And what I've always been drawn to with Rebecca, I mean, other than the fact that she's, you know, crazy strong and can kind of seemingly do anything,
I believe it's
is
seven
she,
world championships.
yeah,
Yeah. And
among
she's,
many other things, yeah.
yes. Yeah. You feel even like that's like that would be an amazing thing to say about somebody. But with her, it's like, yeah, you just kind of touching the surface. But yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah.
Everything she does is like full throttle, the heart's in the right place, high level execution. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a treasure.
That's what I was going to say is her heart is behind everything that she does. So
Yep.
it's not just that she's, you know, winning. It's
Yeah.
that she has a purpose. And so that's what she says about RPI is people, place, and purpose. And so it's all about the people that go, the connections that you make. And so if you guys do ever go to RPI, you have to go to the Be Good Foundation party. It's a fundraiser party and it's held on Friday night. The races, well, the Queen's stage starts on, let me get this wrong, either Wednesday or Thursday. I think it's Thursday.
Okay.
And they have a Thursday stage, a Friday stage, then they have the Be Good Foundation dinner party. And that raises funds for the Be Good Foundation to be able to do, you know, more things. And then Saturday is a rest day, and they have like a shakeout ride, and they have what? Yeah, like a an event at the park. So, you know, all kinds of stuff going on. And then the actual big race is on Sunday. So it's a whole, you know, event. It's not just a one day, you know, I get here and I'm gone. It's she really has a lot of thought behind it. And when I got to finally go, because I've always wanted to go. And so I during COVID I did her Giddy Up Challenge, which was a Everesting challenge. I did the quarter Everest, and then I also did RPI remote. So you could create your own RPI course remotely wherever you were and just follow her guidelines. It had to be at least 50% gravel, but it could be up to 50% road. So I had one friend do that with me. But then it was like, you know what? I really got to go do this in person. So the following year after that, I'm like, I'm going to Idaho. And so I got one other friend to go with me. Otherwise, I was just going to go by myself. But man, getting to go to that and then going to the Be Good Foundation party, it was like just eye-opening because there's so much heart behind her mission. And that's all goes back to her dad. I mean, if you guys know the story behind the Be Good Foundation, yeah.
I watched her documentary. It's amazing.
Yeah. So cool, you know.
Yeah.
That whole Ho Chi Minh Trail, I don't know if you watched.
Oh, yeah.
Incredible.
Incredible. Yeah. So
So you think that that's kind of what was, because I mean, I had I think a similar experience. My wife and I did the California AIDS ride. And I think two things that really, it was eye-opening, life-altering, really. And number one, I think that's the thing that vaulted me into cycling. Although I thought I was a cyclist before that, I wasn't. But it also is the thing that got me, you know, it's more than just me on the bike. It's about using the bike to do good, right? And so that was kind of the start of it. So that kind of changed my world. I'm hearing you say that that's what was kind of your impetus to start doing more of this.
Yeah. I mean, it's just such
That
a
is a good,
tool. I
that's an
mean,
appropriate word, right? Impetus. I don't know. I just came into my head.
well, seems
So,
right. Yeah, sounds good to me. I mean, I don't know. We're just a couple of cycle jerks, Dave. Come on. I didn't know there was going to be a test.
We're gonna get all these comments, you idiot. Larry, that's the dictionary. You just insulted poor Jamie. So, anyway, sorry. I digress.
Yeah, but
Again.
I. To me, the bike, I mean, as much as I love cycling, and apparently because I love so many disciplines in cycling, I just really love how free I feel when I'm on two wheels. And it's just such a tool for so many things. So like with Trips for Kids, I was telling Mike at Sea Otter, it's kind of like their therapy. You know, going out for a ride, you know, they might have problems at home or at school, but then they get on a bike ride for an hour. And they forget all about them. I mean, just like we do, you know.
It's something that we've covered a lot on the podcast. Just cycling as your therapist, or just, you know, what it does for you physically, but also just mentally and spiritually, you know, really does help. Some more than others, I think. You know, I think everybody's wired differently, and you know, those of us that have a hard time just settling down and just being, that's me. Like, I'm definitely go, 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 go. And so the bike really helps control that for me. I can relax and take it easy once in a while.
Got to get your energy out first.
What I love, what I'm hearing, the things that I love, and number one, we've talked a lot about it on the podcast too. We think that the mountain bike local mountain bike programs are doing a lot to get kids involved. And that's one of the things I saw at Sea Otter is how many kids were there, like running and actually kitted up or I should kiss it, geared up and racing and whatnot. But I don't think it could ever be enough. There's got to be more. So I love the Trip for Kids thing, you know, if it exposes more. And this is one of the things that I just, so that's one. But what I also love about the Live Ambassador is that it's just, there's just not enough women doing this. There's not enough women in the sport and not enough women, you know, and you just have to go to events and see the small women's fields at times, you know, and you know, I do group rides and there's, you know, 35 men and 3 women. And it's like there's got somehow, you know, we've got to crack that code. And that's why I think the Live program is so incredible.
You know, it's interesting about the kids because, you know, I've been going to Sea Otter for, I don't know, almost since the inception of it, you know. And the early years that they barely had any kids. Like the 18 and under was like, you know, 3 kids maybe, you know. Yeah, it was amazing. And it's amazing to see the difference since Nika started and then how it's grown each year. And now you see those are the largest categories at Sea Otter
That's so awesome.
because of Nika. And
Yeah.
yeah, so it is really great to see. And it's a day's point that we need more. We always want more participation and more female participation.
Yeah.
So that's why I think LIV is the today, I think it's super important because yeah, there's just not enough. And it can be very intimidating, showing up on a like today's point, his group ride, let's say he's got 35 people and there's three gals. Those gals got to be, that's not something that maybe is the most comfortable scenario for
Yeah,
a lot of women,
sure.
and so yeah, just growing the pie, getting more people in, whether it be bike packing or racing or just riding,
Yeah.
I know that we did a thing locally at a gym and 24-hour fitness, and they had this big spin class, and so I went there and did like a little presentation, and then I suggest, I did the spin class, and then we kind of talked about that was good at a good workout, and then I was trying to encourage them to like go ride
Yeah.
outside, and I asked how many of them ride outside. Not a single one that was in the
Wow.
spin class rode outside, and then the comments were coming in that it's dangerous and they don't feel comfortable, like to your point about not feeling comfortable on the road. And so yeah, there's challenges. There's a lot of gals out there that are interested in getting a good workout, and because the spin classes are full, but taking that fitness to more of an adventurous side of it isn't really happening for whatever reason,
Yeah, well, I
Yeah, well,
think
and
maybe go ahead.
oh, I was just gonna say, I think another part of the puzzle is not just the exercise, but it's also when you do get to ride outside, nature is probably more than half of the equation of the stress relief, that
Yes.
you're out with blue sky above your head and, grass and trees all around you. And it's not
Yeah.
just that you're getting ex I mean, that's part of it for sure. You're releasing endorphins and everything, but a big puzzle piece is nature. And I Zwift too. I don't go to spin class, but I have Zwift at home, and it's a great tool, when you can't get outside. But I can't imagine only riding inside because the nature is such a big puzzle piece. But I think one of the things, and I'd love to know like more of the reason why, women don't go, so that I can try to, aim towards that and getting more women in. But like you said, they don't feel safe, and I didn't feel safe. When they first said we're going to ride on the road to the park, I was inside. I was like terrified.
Right.
But you just have to teach them how. Somebody has to assume, I should start at the beginning and show them, and not make them feel bad about it for not knowing, but
Right.
teach them in a.
I think you just, if you don't already have it, I think you just have you've just got one of your big shop seminars right there, right? Is teaching them that it is safe. I mean, look, I'm not gonna I've had some friends, it's just some real tragedies, really. But at the end of the day, in many ways, it's just that if you really think about the number of people that ride every day or on a weekend and the actual number of events that actually happen, it's not that big, right? It is like a plane crash. When it happens, it's incredibly tragic and the results
Yeah.
can be horrible. But the frequency of it, I would submit, unless someone has data otherwise, I mean, it's not. And so I think it's just a question of dispelling that myth and then teaching them how to safely do it, and not only from the
Right.
skill standpoint, but from a choice of route standpoint.
That's something I'm really big on, is the choice of route, because you could certainly put yourself in some really bad scenarios. And a lot of times when you're new to cycling and you just start, you ride out your door and you're trying to figure out ways to go and you end up in these really bad situations. But yeah, I'm always looking for quiet back country, where I'm not going to encounter too many people in cars. And there's certainly like some routes, like we have this Patterson Pass. It's a really popular route. And during the week, I mean, nobody should really be driving on it. But what happens is if traffic's bad, then people they come off the freeway and they drive this back road like they're in a rally race. And it's so dangerous. And then at the same time, you go on a Saturday or Sunday, you can ride out there for hours and see maybe two or three cars the whole time, Yeah, it's just a matter of learning kind of traffic patterns and, but all that takes time and experience and But yeah, you tapped into it. I think the nature side of it is really the extra part of it. Because I feel like it, you're in the spin class and you got this instructor that's got a bunch of energy and they're cool. And then the people in the class, there's some camaraderie there. You're all kind of doing your own thing. But the component for me that it was missing is definitely like I'm just in a sweaty gym with a bunch of people. I don't feel it's not like being at the top of Mount Diablo with some friends, like a completely different experience.
Yeah, you're like counting down the time till it's over instead of, how much more time can I spend out here,
Exactly.
before I have
Oh
to get
no.
home.
I can't stare at this clock anymore. And you also, I also think you said what you said about the kids, forgetting some of their problems, right? And I think that that's good. That's applicable to adults as well. I mean, I'm a substitute teacher in middle school, and there's no doubt it's very obvious the number of kids that actually suffer from some form of mental health issue, right? And and if they can find an outlet like this, I just think it could be huge. And now it's adults too. I mean, it's kind of, it's not even 6 degrees of separation, the number of people that I know that are, struggling from mental health. And it's just they can just get out and find that relief and, as you said, get the endorphins going. So,
Yeah, they're learning, how to deal, with all these new stresses that they may be encountering and could be a roadmap for success for life in general, just occasionally getting out on your bike or even going for a hike or a run, just anything to kind of get one with nature again. See that
And away
light.
from screens. I mean, everybody's saying it now, but it's so true. I mean, the kids don't really know how to interact with people, from what we've seen at least. So we always try to encourage them to have, good trail etiquette, stay high to people when you ride up to them, and look people in the eye, and don't be afraid. Sometimes they'll just pretend that there's nobody there, like they don't exist. If I don't say anything, then I'm not here. And I just don't understand that. It's just so odd. So we always tell them, you have to interact with people. Don't be scared to talk to people. And so yeah, there's a whole personable element to it, just interacting. And when you're on the bike and on the trail instead of, sitting there with their phone in their hands. So.
I think that like we're all learning this whole thing with the cell phones, and the fact that we let it just take over, I don't think anybody really saw it coming, and the way that it has just consumed everybody. I really think like ultimately, I think we're going to get to a stage where cell phones, I mean, really shouldn't be allowed at school. Or if they're at school, they need to be in your locker. and you can check it at break or whatever, you know. But you know, we're all tethered to these things, and you know, all these things, these social issues just keep getting you know, worse and worse, and with kids and suicide rates and all kinds of just terrible anxiety, depression. Yeah, it's all phone or screen related in some way. So, and then also, you know, when you're trying to teach, I mean, Dave's the teacher here, you could probably speak to this. I can't imagine trying to teach kids when they're sitting there, they got their phones on them. So I'm sure, do I, what, how do you handle it at school?
They're not they're actually not allowed. They sneak them, you
Okay.
know. They sneak them for sure, but and the kids have them, but they are not allowed to be out. You know, they're not allowed to be out during class. Now it's very obvious that they sneak them, and you catch them, or they'll, you know, some kid disappears to the bathroom for 15 minutes, and you know, somebody finds him in there. That's true. It happened the other day. This
Right.
kid was missing, and I got on a walkie-talkie and I had sent someone looking for him. They found him in a bathroom, but his phone. Like he can, you know, you can go, what is it, you know, 14 days without food and 3 days without water, but you can't go, you know, 45 minutes without your phone.
Yeah,
We
well, so
digress from
part
the
teacher,
bike.
part, oh, okay, sorry, go ahead.
No, we digress from the bike thing a little bit, but and I think that will come full circle. When I was in one class, someone, the teacher wrote down this list of 10 things, and they had to say, if this were to happen, how would it affect my life? And they said, you know, if they didn't. If you could no longer eat pizza, right? Or if your car, or if your parents' car broke down, boom, boom. And one of the questions that was added was, what if you no longer had access to the internet? Would it be a positive or negative thing on your life? And explain why. And it was very interesting that this was a small class. It was special ed, and there was like, so you got maybe seven kids in the class, and if you had in each class, when you had seven kids, five of them took that topic, and all of them were like, not having the internet would be a good thing. And I don't think they were just saying it, but I also think that then, but once you leave the class, it's almost like you have no other choice, because your friends are only going to, they're only going to text you, right? So if you know, or they're only going to sell it, or they're not going to call you and say, I had a great day. They're going to post it on Instagram or TikTok. So they probably, no one probably wants it, but no one probably knows how to, you know, a lot of people don't want it, but they don't know how to give it up, you know? And I say that now because maybe, you know, just even just a break from it on the bike is it might be a great solution.
Yeah, it's hard to be on your phone while you're riding your bike. Although
Yikes.
I have seen it in a group ride, even, you know, like in the middle of a pack, somebody whips out their phone and they're like, look at their, you know, it's like,
Dude.
dude, you're inches away from another cyclist, you know?
Back there.
Yeah,
Yeah.
right? Yeah, just pop off the back if you got to do it, you know? Yeah.
So yeah, so and I know you're kind of new, but are there any other, so I hit you with this earlier and I don't know that we finished. So you've got this. Can you think of any other plans that you might have for as an ambassador?
I have some ideas stirring, but not set in stone yet. I actually have this idea. Jessie and Katie, actually, Katie started it a few years ago. She started this indoor century challenge in May, and anyone who would do an indoor century during the month of May, that was affiliated with Visalia Cyclery, or that's their bike shop, then they would get the shirt that said, Just before
Head case
dismount.
there. I'm the head case that
I
rode
yeah,
100
I'm
miles
crazy.
inside.
It was like just before dismount, and it had the year on it, and a design. And so they would design a new shirt every year. And there's only like a handful of people who would do it because it's
Right.
terrible and awful and boring. And the first year I did it, it took me forever. I'd never trained before, but I'm determined. So I just I'm gonna stay here till it's done. So.
That's right.
And after that, I'm like, well, then I started training, a couple years ago. So now it doesn't take me as long, but I
Yeah.
had this idea where if we set up like trainers throughout the store, if we could do it in person together in the shop and like have,
Yeah.
food there and stuff, but people could come into the shop and encourage the riders and maybe buy something. But I just thought it would be cool, to do it together because it's so boring at home. I still like to do it because it's a challenge every year. Now that I've done it so many years, I like to improve my time, even though it's awful. And yeah, but I thought it'd be fun to do it in person
If you
if
had
I
a
could
group,
talk anyone
yeah, if you had a
into
group like
it.
at the bike shop or something, you would have to have like at the NBA games, they got those little guys under the basket with the little mops.
Oh
And
yeah.
when they fall down, the guys come out there and they shh.
It would probably smell terrible in the
Oh my
shop
God.
for days.
Yes. Yes.
But I still think it'd be fun.
I feel really bad because my Zwift is in the garage. And like on Saturdays, I do these ridiculous Zwift rides. And it's so, and my parents they share the garage with me. And then sometimes they come in there and it's like the windows are all steamed up and
Yeah.
it's bad. My mom's
Yep.
all, wow. How long, like not impressed, but disgusted. How long have
Yep.
you been in here?
Yep.
Right, because she smells it. I can't smell
Yep.
it. When you're
Yeah,
doing it, you're not
no.
smelling it,
Nope.
but yeah.
I think you're onto something though. When I had my shop, I can't tell you how many times during the winter, the number of people that said, well, you should host classes in here, or that they were trying to take it from, some were taking it from a business angle, some were taking it from a social angle, like how can we all come in here one night or one morning and do the trainer and do it together, right? And the logistics were always like, you got you okay, so 10 people, great, you get 10 people to do it, but who, the shop, I didn't have 10 trainers.
Right.
And the thought of people bringing their own trainers, and then and all that. But if you had a if you had a stable of trainers and you just opened it up and said, or if it was a one-time big event, then they wouldn't do it. But with any kind of regularity, it would be a hassle to
Oh
hump your
yeah.
trainers,
Oh yeah.
So
But I mean
but
once a
there was
year.
demand.
Yeah.
There was demand.
Yeah.
So I think you're onto something.
I
And that's
think it'd be
a
cool because it's once a year, if you picked a Saturday and everyone could bring their trainer down the night before, he's gonna obviously the shop will be locked up, and
Yep.
then in the morning all you do is put on your kit and go in, and then make some scratch rice cakes and all kind. I always make those for our girls' rides. I make them
Oh.
with bacon and soy sauce, so you get something savory
Oh.
with like sticky rice. Oh, they're so good
It
because
sounds good.
all the snacks are always sweet and sugary, so that's always a good little savory break. But
Somebody
yeah,
was
like
telling me about this rice press. Was that you? No,
I
I think
don't use
it was somebody else. So they were saying that at some of like these Asian food stores will sell like a rice press, and they'll be like in a shape of a rectangle or a triangle, and you stamp it, and it gets all compacted and tight, and then you can wrap, put spam and then maybe wrap it with seaweed or whatever, and then you got like a nice little treat while you're out on the road. So
Yep.
I don't have one of those yet, but I definitely I'm gonna try to find one of those bad
When's your
boys.
birthday, Mike? When's your
Just all I
birthday?
need is more white rice. I eat so much rice, it's insane as it is. But yeah, I could have it on a ride though, too, to your point, like something savory, it's
Yeah.
nice to mix up all that sugar,
Oh
get
yeah.
something savory. Yeah.
Yep.
Cool. Awesome. And so what's on the docket for the family now? What are their big goals?
Yeah, both of our daughters are now in college.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, we haven't had a chance to do like family rides like we used to, because it used to be a weekly thing where we'd go mountain biking, as a family. And then, there's a great sandwich shop up there, so we'd grab a sandwich for dinner, and that was like our evening little ride.
Nice.
But now, schedules are kind of going everywhere because both kids have jobs. Both kids are in college. But we still get away for our snow summit trips to Big Bear in the summertime. And then my husband and I do a lot of riding together, just the two of us now that they can't go as much. So.
Do you set like annual goals, or like do you have targets for let's say if you're going to RPI, are you going to try to peak at RPI, or do you just kind of do what you do and then you go to the event and whatever, however it shakes out, it shakes out?
No, so I do RPI base camp program. So Rebecca's one of the coaches, and her coach, Coach Tim Cusick, is the head coach of base camp. And so there's a winter training group that I've been a part of for 2 years, and Tim is the head coach, and Rebecca's one of the coaches, but we have several awesome coaches, and that runs like right after Thanksgiving through the end of March, I believe. So we just wrapped that up. And that's a blast. And that changed my life. But they do a summer program specifically for RPI. So that one's only 8 weeks. The winter one is 16 weeks. And the 8 week one is tailored to RPI. So you tell them when you sign up, I can train, 8 to 10 hours a week or 10 to 12 or whatever you choose, then and which stage you're gonna race. So if you're doing the Queen stage race, your training is gonna look a lot different than someone who's signing up to do the tater tot or the French fry.
Got it.
So Tim then tailors your training, to your goal. And then obviously you'll do better if you have base fitness going into that RPI training since that's only 8 weeks. So I'm trying to maintain off of my winter training. I have one of his, pre-built programs from that he has in Training Peaks. So I have that loaded in right now that I'm following. And then when RPI base camp starts, then I'll start that specific training. And then Rebecca also does a lot of webinars in within that program that actually tell you about the course. Like they have videos where you actually see like, oh, this stage looks like this, and at this point is where I should look for that. And, I better not go that way and miss the turn. Or, I mean, it's just like gold. If you ever go to RPI, to do her course, it's like that program is just solid gold.
So I've always wondered about that RPI base camp. Is that that's a paid thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What is,
You.
if you don't mind, what does it run for, like a 8 week program? I mean, talk about just a great opportunity to get coached up by some
Oh
incredible
yeah.
coaches, right? And just
Yeah.
for a short window,
Yeah.
what does that run?
I don't remember. I want to say it's in the $200 to $250 range, and sometimes they have coupon codes floating around like right before it starts. And then those of us who do the winter training, they always give us a code to save, a little bit on our if we sign up for RPI base camp. So the winter one is a little different because we do a lot on Zwift because people are there from all over the world. So a lot of them are snowed in. And then they have it written up so that every cycle, so you have four cycles, you end with a challenge. And so there's a hill climb challenge where we do out the Zwift, based on our watts per kilogram category. And then they have coaches with your group. But it's pretty cool because after you do it, 1 year, then you're like, oh, I have a time to compare it to from last year, when I first started training. Then they have like an individual time trial challenge. They do have a gravel stage race challenge where you actually race 2 days. There's a Saturday shorter, faster race, and then a Sunday long race. And it's all on Zwift. And then I can't remember what the last one is, but yeah, I love the challenges. It's one of my favorite parts of base camp.
You just got me onto another topic, because you said, okay, so now you're doing it to you like to improve your time, and then they have at the end, they do this, they put you in categories and you go up out to Zwift. And then in you mentioned when you mentioned RPI, you said, if you're going to do the Queen stage race, right? When you enter these things, are you entering to race or are you entering just to ride and have fun? And I'll there's a reason, there's a method to my madness, and I'll ask.
Yeah, I would say to just to have a new experience and ride and have fun, because I've seen the racers, you know, the people that are really there to race, and I'm nowhere near that right now.
See, and I think, and this is anecdotal evidence, but I think that that's unfortunately another barrier for women entering this thing, is that when you label things they're a race, they're like, oh, I'm out. Or if you say I'm going to do a training program, they always automatically think that it's, oh, it's just because I've got to build up to be fast to keep up, as opposed to, listen, join this thing, then you'll be able to, it's like learn. Train to ride a century, not train to win the century. You know what I mean? Or something like that. So I think a lot of it is in the phrasing of this. And I just think that that's a barrier to getting, people to, like, my rides are all inclusive. Everyone's welcome, right? And then on Thursday, when we go up Mount Diablo, we call it the Hammer Fest. And it's a turnoff for some people because it's like, oh, I can't climb Mount Diablo. I can't keep up with you guys. Well, that's not the point, right? Really, we're going to get to a certain point. We're all going to regroup. So just climb at your own pace. But there's that vibe that goes around with it. And if we can kind of change the messaging around some of that stuff, I think we maybe break down some other barriers. I don't know.
Yeah, there's a local ride that happens every week in our city, and they call it the Hammer Fest. And so, yeah, I'll never show up to that one. I mean, I just won't. Yeah. I'd be riding by myself anyway, so like why would I go?
But you might be surprised,
I
Yeah, you might
don't
be
know.
surprised. But I don't know that you're ever going to take that element out of it, the
Yeah.
sport,
But I
it's
mean,
such.
I train so that when I do go to these things, it doesn't hurt so bad. Like, I want to be able to enjoy it more, and to enjoy it more, I know I need more fitness.
Right.
Because it's not easy stuff, but I like challenges. I feel like life can be too comfortable, and we need to be okay with a little discomfort. And
Yes.
if I didn't think that, I wouldn't go bikepacking, because it's not comfortable
Yeah.
at all.
Yeah. Oh, there's
Yeah.
something to choosing to do something uncomfortable as opposed to, it just makes other things that come your way. You've conditioned yourself. You do these things that are uncomfortable on a regular basis. So if
Yeah.
something falls in your lap outside of whatever that you just have to deal with, it's not like it's the worst thing that's ever happened to you. You probably did something worse to yourself that morning on your bike.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, there's definitely benefit to doing hard things,
I like that bike packing kind of turns you into MacGyver, because things will inevitably go wrong. I mean, I've traveled with my lunch once. My husband took off his belt, and we strapped our lunch like to my handlebars to ride to this winery that everyone's going to meet at, to eat their lunch on the grass. And so we're like, how are we going to get this food that we picked up there? And all of our bags are back at camp, and we were already in town. And so it was like, well, take off your belt. Let's figure this out. But things will break, and it doesn't bother me, because I like having to figure stuff out.
There's definitely, I used to ride with a guy, we called him Boy Scout, but he had a lot that he carried with him. But even if he didn't have the right thing, he would somehow MacGyver it and get it to work. And yeah, he was a roadside clinic. Yeah, there's always guys out there like that. Yep. All right. Well, hey, listen, I feel like this would probably be a pretty good time to wrap it up. What do you think, Dave?
Yeah,
Jamie, you
that's
have a
great.
life outside of this, right?
Yeah. I was halfway through putting my tires on my bike, swapping them out before I
When
got
I
the
got that
call.
late last
Like,
minute,
yeah, worked out perfect. I'll go finish them.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and Thanks for
Yeah,
everything you're doing to
this
get more
I
people
mean
involved.
a gem. I mean, for something that's spontaneously combusted like this, I've thoroughly enjoyed it, and chapeau to all the things that you're doing, to
Wait a
get
minute.
women.
Wait a minute, Dave. What did you just say? Chapeau?
Chapeau. That's all.
Okay. All right. I'm just that's it. Okay.
Not why? What's wrong with that one? I like
Don't
it. It's
know.
one of
A
that's awesome.
chapeau. I know. It's just very is it
Yeah.
French? The French
Yeah.
chapeau.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
okay. I like it.
There you
We
go.
had impotence
So,
earlier. Now we have chapeau.
yeah, I hope
Dave.
I said it right. That's for sure. No, it's admirable. So, yeah, thank you for all you're doing.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. This was fun.
Dave and I are always all about trying to get more people in the sport. It's part of what drives us with the podcast, even, and a lot of the other things that we do, just in general, just trying to open up people's eyes to just how great it is to get out on a bike. And
Yeah, and yeah, the takeaways from here, send us the information about your, I mean, I know the window's closing, so many people can do it, but if you've got spots, let's die trying. Let's try to get some social media around it. And then I Mike, the next call I make this week is to Trips for Kids. I'd love to have those guys on the podcast.
It's a great organization, right? It's like 30 years, you said, right, Jamie?
Over 30 years.
Incredible.
Now we're under the umbrella of League of American Bicyclists.
Oh, great.
So it's kind of taken a
More.
little, morphed into something new, but
Right. Hopefully there's more horsepower. Get the word out there. All right.
Right
Well,
on.
with that, we're gonna wrap it up. Episode 144 in the books. Jamie, thank you so much. And Dave,
Thank you.
you did pretty good too.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm trying, Mike. I really am. I was trying. I so appreciate you keeping me around. Because I know there's so much other talent out there, so thank you.
Good stuff. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
See
We'll
you
see you
guys.
next time.
If you like what we're doing here at Psychojerks Podcast and you would like to support us, please check out our website at psychojerkspodcast.buzzsprout.com. Hit the subscribe button. We shout out all subscribers, so get on it. Another way you can support the podcast would be by giving us a 5-star review on whatever streaming platform that you're listening on. We appreciate you. Thanks so much.
Cycle Jerks.
Hey, get out of the road, dummy.
Cycle Jerks Podcast.